Savior from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Join with us in this responsive call to worship. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. We want to welcome each of you here this morning on this Easter Sunday as we affirm together that we indeed believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and give praise to him. So let us now welcome each other in the name of the Lord and extend a hand of greeting to each other.
I live with power over
As we have been singing our belief in the resurrection, let us also affirm that belief using this profession of faith from our contemporary testimony, our world belongs to God. Will you say this with me? As our substitute, he suffered all his years on earth, especially in the horrible torture of the cross. He carried God's judgment on our sin. His sacrifice removes our guilt. He walked out of the grave, the Lord of life. He conquered sin and death. We are set right with God. We are given new life and called to walk with him in freedom from sin's dominion. You may be seated. Let us now respond also in thanksgiving and worship by the giving of our offerings. The offering today is for the Christian Reformed Church Home Missions as we seek to plant churches within our own nation and build up people in the faith, bring people to faith, and build them up in the faith. So let us open our hearts and give generously to the Lord this morning. And please, as you give and as the offering is received, pass the friendship folders found in the center aisle as we want to be able to extend a welcome to you after this service. If there's any announcements at this time. I didn't hear of any prior to the service, but perhaps there's an announcement from someone yet. Anybody have an announcement? Just one quick announcement. Several weeks ago, the council put out a letter to you, just giving you an update on what's happening. And just to give a quick little update about that, last week Sunday we had a workshop again with the renewal team to think about the action steps that we need to take as a church in relation to the two objectives that we had come to and set before us. And so what we're doing now is we're going to be working as a renewal team and with committees as well in probably in the next month here to kind of whittle down those action steps and clarify them and make them succinct. So we're going to be discussing those. And just like it was said in the letter, we want to give focus to this renewal process, invest our energy there for the time being. So as a council, we really haven't set out a strong timeline of when we're going to start the pastor search. It will likely be after the action steps, we get those solidified. But we'll keep you posted. We ask for your continued prayers about all of that. And I think as a council and congregation, I think we'll know the time is right and we can begin that search process. I invite us now to turn to Mark chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, or you can look on the overhead screen as well. Before we read God's word, will you bow with me in prayer? Lord our God, our hearts are filled with praise today. But we give you praise and thanks every day of our lives, and we live in the truth every day and celebrating the truth of the resurrection. We today give special praise because we remember specifically that event and what it means for us and the world. You are the God of life. And so come to us now, inspire our wills, our minds, our hearts to obedience in you. Help us in every way to acknowledge you as Lord. So bless us with the Easter proclamation that we might go forward and proclaim the good news as well and live the Easter message. In Jesus' name, amen. So from Mark chapter 16, first 8 verses, to read the account of the resurrection here. In the message, I'm also going to refer to 1 Corinthians 15, considered the great resurrection chapter, Paul's teaching about that. But let's hear these words. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. May God bless his word to us today. Dear friends in Christ, the theme that I propose and been preaching on for the last several weeks was called Journeying by the Cross. We looked at commitment, the agonizing commitment of our Lord. We realized that at times our own commitment to the Lord brings some agony, bring some anguish in our lives. We talked about standing on the truth, understanding what truth is and the importance of truth for our lives, of being a humble servant, after the pattern of our Lord Jesus, as he walked this earth and served. And then thinking from Good Friday on the great sacrifice he paid for us, having been forsaken for us. And realizing that our walking in Jesus' footsteps, walking as Jesus did, journeying by that cross, only can be to a point, because all that Jesus did was for us and our salvation. And what he did in the cross and in the resurrection, because they go together. You can't have the resurrection without the cross, and you can't have the cross without the resurrection in terms of his meaning and truth for us. But what he did in these events for us enables us to become his disciples and continue to be and grow as disciples of Jesus. If we look at Colossians chapter 2, we get a little better idea of this as well, what this means for us to now walk in the way to Easter and the way of Easter. It says in Colossians 2, regarding Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. There's this continual process in the life of us as disciples, the dying and rising. Dying to sin and rising to the new life that Christ has brought to us. And it continues in chapter 3 of Colossians as well. Put to death whatever belongs to the earthly sinful nature. And then it says, but put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And so that's what our lives are about as disciples of Jesus and seeking to walk and journey the way of Jesus, the dying and the rising. You know, one of the greatest tragedies of the fall into sin is human fear and the insecurity of that sin brings into our lives. And so we see that from the time Adam and Eve, you know, ran into the bushes from their fear of God's wrath, to Moses at the burning bush as he stood trembling in fear, to the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai, to the shepherds in Bethlehem, and here to the women at the tomb and the sight of the angel. Humanity has always carried fear as a real part of their lives as a result of the fall into sin. So consider the fears that you live with, the insecurities that you live with today. Whether you live with them on your shirt sleeve and tell others about them, or whether they lie buried in your soul. And in light of all those fears, the question of today is highly significant. The question that came in our text this morning, who will roll away the stone? We see the way to Easter is wrapped up in that question. Who will roll away the stone? And it's, first of all, a very, very practical question. The three women that went to the tomb had in mind to do an honorable thing, to put spices on Jesus' body. That's what they did. It's much like us bringing flowers to the grave, to pay some respect, to give some dignity to the one who's died. They were doing the same thing. It was just kind of habit. Someone they loved and was dear to them died, and they were going to go bring the spices. Part of that dignity of bringing spices was just to cover up the odor that would develop in the tomb. They placed it on the body. There'd be a sweet aroma in there, not the smell of a decaying body. And so that's what they were going to do. They didn't understand at the time of Jesus' teachings, they didn't have it on their mind when they started that journey to the tomb that Jesus had talked about his resurrection. They were just doing what they normally did. But as they went, we read there, it dawned on them. It dawned on them. Who will roll the stone away? Because the two Marys, they had been at the tomb when the stone was rolled in front. And they laid Jesus' body in that tomb. They were there. So it's a very practical question. And if they couldn't roll the stone away, their journey, their purpose in going would have been futile. But the stone was and is very crucial to the proof of the resurrection. We all have to admit that it's a very radical idea to say that someone could actually rise from the grave. It's just not something they experienced then or we experience now, that someone rises from the grave. And credibility for that can be found in the fact of prophecy being fulfilled, but also in the very practical matter of the stone. In chapter 15 of Mark, just before our reading today, it says that Joseph took the body and laid it in the tomb and rolled a stone across the entrance. And according to verse 4 in our reading, it was a very large stone, not easily moved. So there, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, came to the tomb. They thought it would be closed. It would have been ridiculous to think that the Roman soldiers would open the tomb, since they were under direct orders not to remove the stone, and being under direct orders and disobeying would have meant death for sure. They certainly wouldn't have removed the stone from the opening to the tomb. So by all appearances, Jesus was to be entombed forever. Yes, it's a very practical question but leads to a profound reality. For the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. And in the grief of these women, God sent his angel with a message to them. No doubt, first of all, to comfort them, but to let them know that Jesus had risen, just as he said. And then they told him, go tell the other disciples, pass the news. But the purpose of that angel being there and the message that the angel brought was not just for the purpose of fortifying their own faith and relighting some hope in them, but the messenger was an assurance that the resurrection was real and that Jesus' body had not been stolen. For it was all part of the unexplainable divine acts that were already part of the events surrounding Jesus' death. The darkness, the utter darkness that came when Jesus died on the cross, the earthquake that came, and now the stone being rolled away. So even though the women didn't know it, their practical question also was a deep theological question. For the world needed to see that the tomb was empty. A forever closed tomb would destroy the hope of the Christian faith. The cross really would mean nothing without the resurrection. Yes, it would have been an event of someone great doing something really good for us, that he stood on his convictions and on his mission and died for that. Yes, a good example. But it was, as we know, more than that. For it is the way to our forgiveness of sins, that sin would be abolished from us. But the resurrection itself brings the word and the certainty of the power over sin, sin's destruction. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, we read that without the resurrection, we have no faith. And we think about it in this way. Though the empty tomb is important, and it's a step in the proof of the resurrection, William Willimon, a preacher and author, explains it also in this way: to add to our confidence in the resurrection. And maybe he says it a little more strongly than we might, but listen to this. He says, that first Easter, nobody actually saw Jesus rise from the dead. They saw him afterwards. They didn't appear to him. He appeared to them. He appears to us. In the Bible, the proof of the resurrection is not the absence of Jesus' body from the tomb, it's the presence of Jesus to his followers. And then he continues, the result of Easter, the product of the resurrection of Christ, is the church, a community of people with nothing more to convene us than that the risen Christ came back to us. That's our claim, our only hope, he writes. And so you and I, and others throughout the world who are coming to faith and who are growing disciples in Christ, the evidence continues of the resurrection, continues as we are changed. That's the ongoing way to Easter. Our lives in that way are a testimony, a witness to the resurrected Christ, as we are able to claim power over sin. Yeah, we still sin, but it doesn't have a grip on us. So Jesus appeared to the disciples. It says that in 1 Corinthians 15. It's Paul's great theological discourse on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. And it says there in verse 1, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. You hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." And it says that, it goes on to say that he appeared to the disciples and then to 500 other witnesses. 500 other witnesses. That, of course, set the witness of the church in motion. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus. What better proof is needed? They actually saw him. Not just having word of the testimony that the tomb was empty, they saw him. And then in verses 12 to 18 of this 1 Corinthians 15, Paul very logically and methodically explores the tragedy that would result if the stone were never rolled away and we could not know that Christ was raised. And so follow the statements that come in these verses. It first of all says our preaching would be useless. What I'd be doing up here today would be all in vain. Just a worthless activity. It says, further, your faith would be useless. You sitting out there, why would you need to be here? Wasted time, wasted activity. Then it goes on, we would all be called false witnesses. You'd be liars. Claiming this truth, and it's no truth at all. You'd be liars. And then our faith would be futile. Verse 17. Our faith would be futile. Be all in vain. We would still be in our sins. There it is. The meaning of the cross needs the power of the resurrection. Those who have died in faith would be lost, says in verse 18. Think about all those who have gone before us who have claimed the same faith. They'd be lost. And we should be pitied more than all people because we would have no hope beyond this life. We'd be destined to the grave, to decay. The end of life, death, would be it. Nothing. And so after letting his readers consider how utterly devastating this would be to our hope and faith, he boldly and clearly proclaims the fact of Christ's resurrection. It says God raised him from the dead. So a silently locked tomb, would not only interfere with the women's embalming attempt, but would destroy the entire hope of the Christian faith. A very practical question. The profound reality, meaning, to what we profess as Christians. Yes, it means our physical resurrection, the time of Christ's coming, new body, but it also means new life right now, having the power over sin, being transformed in our inner being as we walk and journey in this life. And one day to be like Him, like Christ, our Lord, be fully transformed. So a practical question, but now consider a powerful answer. Who will roll the stone away? There's a powerful answer that is revealed here, not only here, but in all Scripture, but it's revealed here by the very presence of the angel. God sent a messenger from himself to say that I raised Jesus from the grave. And we hear it in 1 Corinthians 15, very, very clearly Paul teaches, God raised Jesus. And Peter, as he preached his sermon of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the crowd, in Acts chapter 2, he says, God raised Jesus from the dead. He brought life back to that lifeless body. So the question is God a part of your life? And do you believe in that God? There's a lot of people who don't believe in the existence of God. There are many evidences and signs that, you know, there's a greater reality besides what we can see and touch here. There's a greater reality. Many of you know I'm a hospice chaplain. And I'm not always there at the time of death, but there are things in between. When they're getting near death, it's like they are between this world and the next. And they say things, and they see people, loved ones who have died, as if they're in between worlds. I know it maybe sounds kind of strange, but we hear this all the time. It's not just one event. It's not just in their imagination. You know, not just hallucinating. It just says that there's a reality beyond this life. I think that says something that we can point people to. That reality also is God and what He teaches. There is a reality beyond this life. God, bigger than anything that we can ever experience here. But the question, who will roll away the stone? The answer is God. But let's bring it very practical to you and I. For this cry of despair really, who will roll away this stone, echoes down through the ages from Jesus' time until our own, wherever the power of fear or shame or helplessness and hopelessness and death turns our life into a tomb. When sin entered, it changed the course of our relationship with God and the way life was meant to be experienced. So that question is still before us, before all of humanity. Who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away the stone of devastation and grief that those families in Korea encountered this past week? Losing their teenager. And all those teenagers that were lost. You know, when I heard that on the news, I got a little choked up. And I often don't get that way with news because, you know, it's easy for any of us to become kind of numb and distance ourselves. It's over there. I mean, it's devastating and we understand that. But that massive of a loss of teenage life is a little hard to take. We can't explain it. Who will roll away that stone of grief for them? Or for anyone else who experiences the grief and the loss of someone that was dear to them, who will roll away that stone? Who will roll away the stone for a woman trapped in an abusive relationship because she believes there's no way she can support herself on her own, support her and her children on a meager income that she has? Who will roll away the stone for the man who was laid off after years of faithful service to his company and who must now compete with thousands of young, energetic people for a job? Or who will roll away the stone for the person whose retirement investments are wiped out in a collapse of the market? Or perhaps because of a bad decision he made? Who will roll away the stone for the one who just comes away from the doctor's office with a diagnosis that sounds like a death sentence? Who will roll away the stone for the one society has labeled a loser, the one living on the margins, barely scrapping by, pretty well convinced that no one really cares if he or she lives or dies? Who will roll away the stone for the one whose life feels so dry and desolate, like the fall leaves rustling on the ground, who feels cut off from self and from family, from friends, and even from God? Who will roll away the stone for the one who feels overwhelmed by the demands and stresses of life? You've been there? I've been there. So who will roll away the stone from the places where fear and decay and sin and death have us all entrapped, entombed, in places where the stone is so heavy We can't possibly move it on our own. Well, after a long walk, the women arrive at the tomb. Their eyes, no doubt, cast down, still trying to figure out who will move the stone away. But then they look up. The stone, it's gone. It's rolled away. And that's the good news of the Easter drama. God has unlocked the tomb. Christ has burst the bonds of death. No jail, no concentration camp, no torture chamber, no grave can imprison God. That's the God to believe in today. God knows it's suffocating in our tombs, that we want, if at all possible, to walk out of them, but that we might be in a place where we feel like just giving up. We want someone to roll away the stone and give us some air and some light. We want to be able to breathe again. The resurrection of Christ proclaims that the power of God, and only the power of God, can remove any curse of sin in this world. That the power of God alone can remove the punishment of death that is upon us as sinful creatures. And so God will roll away the stone from the prisons of our lives, where no jail or no dead-end job and no stress or no unemployment line, no hospital bed or contentious relationship, no grief or war, and no grave can imprison us. It won't. And God is the one who does the heavy lifting. We are to open our hearts in faith and hope, trusting in this God, trusting what He says. The way to Easter for any one of us is to surrender our very self and our situations and our journey ahead to God, to Him alone. We walk that journey with fellow believers, with our spouse, with our family. They're important. They can be helpful. They're needed. But each one of them, as well as you, let's look to God first and depend upon God first. We journey ahead, believing in the power, believing in God's power based on the resurrection, believing in His complete love for us, and believing in what He did on the cross. We know He's trustworthy, completely trustworthy. And in this way, as disciples of Jesus, we are walking in the way to Easter, experiencing Easter itself. The old sinful nature is being put to death, and we are being raised to new life. Yes, we will struggle with sin till our very last breath. But it's not going to have its power over us. And it's not going to lead to eternal punishment for us. It's forgiven, nailed to the cross, and in the power of the resurrection, we can claim a new life in Christ and live for Him. Walk in the ways of Jesus. We live in a world that's filled with the curses of sin, the effects of that first fall into sin. And so we will have any struggle. All the struggles that we have are part of that curse. And He gives us a way through it. His presence and hope breathed into us by the Spirit. People of God, Easter is the discovery of life in the midst of the experience of death-like circumstances and death itself. Easter is God's promise to be present in our experience of limitation and loss, to give us the courage to confront death in whatever form it takes and receive that gift of eternal life. God is rolling away the stones and unleashing the power of life, not just for those who have already claimed to follow Christ, but He's knocking on the doors of many people to follow Him. Their stones might be removed. And so the message of Easter comes through the church, you and I, but is directed to the whole world. But we are to receive that message today in our hearts and see it at work in our lives. Continue to claim that promise. Power over sin and death. Proclaim that message. Let our lives show the evidence of the resurrection. The resurrection power. And with our hand, or with our voices and hearts and hands, we reach out to be used by God to roll away the stones in the lives of others. Amen. I invite you to join with me in prayer today as we also ask God's blessing on this message, but remember those in need. Perhaps those you know as well, you can pray silent in your own heart. For those who either need God in their lives or need His help in a time of trial. Let's pray together. Our eternal God, with this incredible truth of this day, the resurrection, we lift up our voices in triumphant praise. For this truth of your resurrection was brings forth praise and thanks every day in our lives. We rejoice that in that truth, that life cannot be buried, truth cannot be entombed. You have turned the night of death into morning light. Grant us that firm belief today and the days to come. We testify that the fact that you are a God of miracles. And so work miracles in our lives, bringing to faith, bringing our children to faith, that they might walk in your ways. Work miracles of faith in the lives of others we might know and our acquaintances who need you, Lord. Work miracles of faith around the world, unknown peoples of other countries. Use missionaries and those who serve you in other lands and who bring the gospel and who minister in and also in deed in service. Lord, work the miracles of patient endurance in times of trial for any one of us here, the courage to see a better day, to have a glimmer of hope in our lives. Work in us the miracle of experiencing the fullness of the Christian life, of firm assurance and joy and satisfaction in serving you. Work miracles in us where we are ingrained in our sin and bad habits, bad attitudes, thoughts, words and actions. Lord, help us to overcome them. Find your grace and power to work through them. Be honest enough to enlist the help of those we trust to hold us accountable. Lord, work with many in our world who live in hopelessness, entrenched in problems of various kinds, whether it's relationship problems or addictions or abuse or financial burdens. Work small miracles of hope. And Lord, if they're giving up hope on living, renew that desire for living. Let miracles be seen in our world so people and leaders of nations turn to what is right and good in your eyes, that our world may be more at peace. Lord, help us to let your word be our teacher. And we might know your ways and be a blessing to others, knowing the way of salvation, but living lives pleasing to you. Bless our personal study of your word and opportunities we experience through church and our own initiative to learn more about your word. And Lord, in the complexities of life, help us to gain wisdom from that word. Not merely for increasing our own intelligence, but for applying it and living it in our lives. Lord, give your strength, work miracles of healing and inner courage and peace to all those who are experiencing sickness and injury and disease and battling with disease that we know of. We're thankful that Diana and Norma and Bea and Eileen are experiencing recovery and healing. Continue to give them strength and blessing them. Lord, we pray for Charlene's sisters and medical problems and other difficulties that you would help them, dear Lord. Help them to turn to you Bless Blanca and Sonia and Lisa with your healing mercies. Grant them courage from day to day. We think of those struggling with cancer, LaVon and Tim's father. Lord, bless them and grant them strength and healing mercies, Lord. Cause the cancer to go into remission. And Lord, we remember Catherine and Jacob and other elderly, Lord, who just have the weaknesses of body and difficulties and the elderly person of getting around and not doing the things that they used to love to do. Lord, we pray that they will be blessed in this day. We ask for your continued work among us and in us through all the activities of our church life, all the ways that we are engaged in seeking to build up this church and encourage the fellowship of this church. We pray for the renewal team and committees as we try to fine-tune the action steps that we've come up with. Lord, and bless us in due time as we seek to search for a new pastor here. Lord, bless us in all these and bless our family gatherings, whatever we're doing today, or just in an intimate fellowship of friends. May we be blessed and rejoice together in the good news that you live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand with us as we conclude our service with a song and blessing and then a concluding song. Let's lift up our hearts to the Lord as we conclude our service today. The parting blessing of God Therefore, dear friends, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Go now with the peace and joy of Christ our Lord in your lives. Amen.
One day when heaven is filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The head of the nation stretched out on a tree, took the nails from me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day will be long and won't bring me. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Go in peace.